Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and U.S. Soccer and the Shebelies Cup in Atlanta on April 6th. And Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and it has been a wild ride for soccer in Atlanta as of late. In this show, you know, look, we're going to talk about a lot of things going on in soccer in the Atlanta area, local universities, local colleges playing in postseason action on the men's and the women's side, local players getting call-ups to youth national teams, all kinds of things. And oh yeah, we talk a lot about the five stripes of Atlanta United as well. And oh, there is a lot to talk about when it comes to Atlanta United these days because, wow, they did it. They did something that no one around the country thought that they would do. Atlanta United, the number 9 seed, went to Fort Lauderdale in a do-or-die game 3. And took care of business. And it was one of the wildest games that I can ever remember watching, calling, reading about, any of it. It had everything. There were surprises. There was adversity. There were interesting referee things happening. There were interesting lots of things happening with goalkeepers getting thrown into the goal after a play was dead. All kinds of stuff happening in this one. But just in case you missed it and you missed the full-time report, Miami opened the scoring. Jamal Traore opened the action, the threatening actions in the attacking third, putting a shot off the post early. Matias Rojas finished off a rebound after a great save from Brad Kazan. Oh, we're going to come back to him. That gave Miami the lead in the 17th minute. 4 minutes later, it was 2-1 Atlanta. Yeah. Jamal Traore scored twice. The first goal, a great ball from Dax McCarty that took a deflection into his path. Wonderful finish from Traore. 2 minutes later, it's a great sequence all the way around. Alexi Maranchuk gets the assist with an incredible little slip pass in for Traore. It starts with a turnover. Atlanta with good pressure up high from Sabo Lobjanidze. Ronald Hernandez with the interception. He plays it into the midfield to Bartosz Szlich. We're going to come back to him as well. Quick ball inside to Dax McCarty and a beautiful ball over the top. Miami gets caught trying to catch Maranchuk offside. He's on. he slips the pass into TRA, and three goals in 4 minutes of time, and Atlanta led 2-1. Miami scored, taken back due to offside. Narrow decision, but he was off. You could see the lines on the field, which were very helpful in the situation. So 2-1 Atlanta going in to halftime. Second half, Miami really starts pouring it on. Steon Gregerson checked in for Tristan Muyamba in the 59th minute. Miami brought on Leo Campana in that same sequence as well. Jay Fortune came on for Dax McCarty. Fortune wasn't able to start. I think Muyamba did okay. Fortune, dealing with an ankle injury, was able to give 30-plus minutes, and he was very needed as the night went on. Steon Gregerson was also very needed, back from a hamstring injury. 5 minutes after the subs, Leo Messi scored his goal in this match. A great header. He got past Gregerson. Gregerson still kind of getting up to the speed of play. Messi got behind him. Wonderful ball from Marcelo Weigand. And Messi heads it home. It's 2-2 in the 65th minute. That was where things got a little chaotic. In the moments after the goal, header, great header from Messi, powerful header from him. You don't normally see headers from Lionel Messi, but he puts one home here. He tries to grab the ball, of course, to run it back to midfield. Brad Kazan gets the ball. It's knocked out of his hands. There's a bump with Messi and Kazan. No harm, no foul in any of that either way. Then Leo Campana comes running in and shoves Brad Kazan in the back, into the back of the net, and runs away. That was an interesting decision from Señor Campana. Kind of showed how Miami was struggling with their composure at this stage. Luis Suarez, who struggles with his composure on a day that ends in the letter Y, he got into Brad Kazan's face. Brad looks like he's like doing a Spider-Man move out of the net to get at Suarez. He runs away, probably smartly. And the referee doesn't do anything about any of it. If you heard the broadcast, I was very upset about that. Seeing that kind of moment, I'm upset about it for two reasons. One, it has to be a yellow card, no question about it, for Campana. The fact that it's not is honestly embarrassing. Borderline more than that. In a regular season game, maybe it is. In a playoff game, especially in a deciding match, not many referees are going to do it. Could you have justified the red? Absolutely. It's just ridiculous from Campana to do what he did. But to not have any punishment, and then the referee to get in Kazan's face and really go at him a little bit, is baffling. And I think it kind of set the tone for where the rest of this night was going to go. Home teams generally get calls going their way. Miami had twice as many fouls earned as Atlanta did in this match. This was very egregious in terms of that. It was very stretched in terms of how this went. But Atlanta honestly didn't really care. And it's a credit to this team for putting up with it and dealing with it. Bartosz Lis in the 76th minute, in another moment of controversy. Miami, I guess, thinking they were getting everything going their way. Aviles just sits down as Atlanta's in the attacking third on the right. Earlier in this match, and I know earlier in the series, Miami played the ball out when Atlanta had injuries. That happened in previous games. Yes, this game had turned. Miami had played through an Atlanta player being down, Jamal Tiare. Didn't stop. Referee didn't stop the play either, and both are fine. And remember, just 11 minutes before, you had the incident where Leo Campana comes running in and shoves Brad Kazan in the back and then runs away. Suarez gets in his face. The idea of Atlanta in an attacking moment playing the ball out because Aviles just sat down, it's not going to happen in that moment. And Pedro Amador looks up, sees Bartosz Lis bearing down on the back post, puts up another beautiful cross that Lis heads home, and it makes it 3-2. Miami's all the way upset about Atlanta not playing the ball out. But again, you can't act the way that Miami did in this game. Luis Suarez taking an embarrassing dive in the first half. Brad Kazan getting in his face and confronting him about it. Throwing Kazan into the goal. You can't do those things and expect to get the sporting treatment from the opponent that you have been doing this to. I'm sorry. And again, Miami played through an Atlanta player being down in this match. And if you remember one of the famous clips from Leo Messi's time in Miami, where RSL player down and Messi like flips the ball over him and takes a shot. Kind of asking for a lot there, aren't you? Goal happens. Sergio Busquets checks in for Aviles. Rios and Silva check in for Atlanta. Sean De Silva nutmeg Sergio Busquets in a very filthy way. I was very impressed by that. I'm sure Sean De was looking for Busquets the whole rest of the match to try to do it again. Noah Cobb had to come on in stoppage time, and Noah Cobb was very involved here in stoppage time. He clears one off the line. He makes a couple of other big plays. Atlanta holds on through, I think, what turned into about 10 minutes of stoppage time. It was supposed to be seven. And Atlanta got it done and beat Miami. And then accusations come about the format of the playoffs and shouldn't even have them. And then lots of other complaints. And look, this Atlanta United team just honestly doesn't care. They went down. They had no fear. They had a ton of confidence going into this game. And they just went down and got the job done. Here's Rob Valentino when he was asked by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Doug Robertson in media availability after the game, how did you do it? This is what Rob had to say.
I'd love to say something fancy and like I'm a tactical genius or something like that, but I'm not, and that's not the way I coach. So just been talking about all along internal belief, fighting and sticking together. We've made obviously little tweaks and we've done certain things to try to win each game and done something a little bit different every time, and there's been different players called upon, but that was a big message, is like we have to do this together. It's not going to be one player that's just going to carry us, and that's not a underlying tone to anybody else. It's just the fact of like I tell this group that you have to do this together. You can't have passengers. So whatever shape we play, whatever tactics we give them, it's going to have to be everybody in it together. And you could see that like they really believe that they can do something. So it wasn't pretty at times, and if you would have told me I had three goals on the road, I would have said you're lying. But yeah, they've got some internal belief for it.
Rob is selling himself short there. There were some very good tactical decisions made. We're going to talk about those. You're going to hear from Brad Kazan. You're going to hear more from Rob Valentino, and we're going to talk more about him. You're going to hear from Dax McCarty as well as we look back at Atlanta United's win over Inter Miami in game three of the first round. Miami season, the legendary season, it's done. Now there's a lot of questions about the success of their project. Atlanta United, very successful project right now, led by Rob Valentino, going on to the Eastern Conference semifinal against our old friends Orlando City. We'll talk more about all of this on Atlanta Soccer Tonight as we return in five on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We are looking back at Atlanta United's huge, record-setting upset win in Fort Lauderdale to defeat Inter Miami. Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets. So many superstars. Their season's done. Atlanta United's continues on to the Eastern Conference semifinals. You heard from Rob Valentino in the last segment about how they did it. One of the players that I thought was vital in actually completing it, not just because he scored the winning goal, I thought Bartosz Szlich had an amazing match. I asked Rob after the game about Szlich's development, and here's what Rob had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I probably need a longer time to think about that. But he's grown into every game that he's played. He takes things like, I don't mean this in a bad way, he takes things so personal when they maybe don't go his way. Like, think back to New York City game, giveaway, and then he's down and he's just thinking, oh, like this is, I've let everybody down because I feel like he cares so much. And then the penalties stuff in League's Cup, but the thing is he's bounced back. And you look at him there, like, just putting his body on the line, clearances, like just putting a shift in, playing in a different position, out of necessity for the team. So I feel like he's one of many of the just selfless workers.
I want to dig a little bit deeper into that. That was Rob Valentino from Fort Lauderdale after the game. And you heard in the last segment, Rob being self-deprecating and saying he's not a tactical genius and all these sorts of things. He had to move the midfield pieces around in this series to make it work. Dax McCarty's going to sit deeper. It's where Bartosz Schlich has typically played when he's played as a duo with Jay Fortune. It's been Fortune who has pushed higher up the field to go push the game, and Schlich has sat deeper. Because of what this matchup needed, because of what these games required, Schlich played to the right of the midfield three, had a lot of work to do to support Sabo Lobjanidze as a wing back dealing with Jordi Alba, had to push the team forward, had to get his opportunities getting forward himself as he did on the goal, but he had to do some different things. Rob Valentino knew that he could, knew that he could make that work, and he did. Little subtle things. I think at times when we talk about tactical geniuses and a coach being someone who is a very smart coach and moving all the pieces around, look, I think it's a little bit easier at times to see some of the big changes that a Pep Guardiola will make, that Wilfried Nancy has done. We've talked about it here on the show before. Sean Zawadzki playing as a central midfielder or a center back or a wing back, depending on the situation. Those are big, obvious tactical moves. And sometimes you can make big, obvious tactical moves and they don't work out. Sometimes you have to based off necessity and they work or they don't. Little more subtle tactical moves are just as important to outcomes. Look at what Atlanta has had to do in this series. They walked in the door in game one, very tired, going to Fort Lauderdale after getting through Montreal. And the starting lineup in game one, Atlanta was in a 4-3-3. Steven Gregerson was in that starting lineup. He got hurt, didn't finish the first half. Brooks Lennon was in that starting lineup. He got hurt, didn't finish the first half. Dax McCarty, Bartosz Schlich played in the midfield. Jay Fortune ideally would have played to the left, although Alexei Maranchuk could play to the right. Natmet Sabalobjanidze could move to the left. You had some built-in flexibility with how you wanted to move the pieces around in the 4-3-3. Well, all that got thrown out the window when Brooks Lennon got injured and Steven Gregerson got injured, and you had to change it up. You went to a line of five. It worked. Miami has had big problems all season long playing teams in a back 3/5. Game two, you saw what kind of turned into the way that Atlanta United wanted to play, with Lobjanidze as a wing back with a three central midfield setup, with Fortune, with McCarty, with Schlich, with Ronald Hernandez a right back as a right center back, and with Alexei Maranchuk a 10 as a second forward, but dropping in sometimes to make a diamond in the midfield. But then the way that Rob wanted the team to press and defend, more of a 5-3-2 with Maranchuk next to TRA and doing that job defensively. Had to make some changes in game three as it went on, because Miami just started throwing numbers forward. Shape didn't really matter. It was about matchups. And Valentino got the decisions right. Think back to Sean De Silva's substitution coming in. Got that right. Obviously, it pays off with a goal. Noah Cobb coming in late. Got that right. It pays off with a big play from Cobb. I asked Rob about how the game got so chaotic late in it, and Miami's just throwing numbers forward. And like I said, it's not about shape at that stage. Here's what Rob had to say, and I also followed up asking about his coaching staff.
Yeah, I have to like look back on every single moment, but like when I look back at the subs that we made, they were, one was out of necessity, and then thought we could get, because you only got 3 moments, so you're trying to maximize the moments, but also keep guys in rhythm and keep them in the game, and really, you have to be really tuned in, and like to jump into a game like that as a sub is really hard. I don't give you a great answer there, but I just feel like as the subs started to kind of unfold, like I heard, and especially at the end, like I didn't plan to make that sub with Noah, and I heard somebody say like, know it could be helpful. And as I heard it, I was like, all right, let's go with it. Let's lock this down, because there's also, you can think about penalties, but I didn't want to think that direction. So a bunch of different things go through your head in those moments.
Last thing for me, you mentioned that, but you hear somebody about Noah. How important has the entire staff been in supporting you and this group?
I mean, immense. That's why I said to Doug there, like, it's, and I bet any head coach could tell you this, that it's not just the one person. They'd fail at their jobs, 100%. We are the way we are because of everybody in that room. And I mean, every player, whether they play a big role, a small role, whatever they think their role is, they're important. And it's the same on the staff. Like, we've got great experience in Robbo, and then we've got guys like Matt who are a real educator in terms of the way they coach. You've got Liam who is just obviously an expert at his role. Like, you just have just different facets. You got the physical part that people can touch on what they've done physically and what they can kind of push themselves in those limits. So, yeah, I mean, I can't say enough good things about them.
Just like the Sean De Silva sub being so important and paying off, and it was a little bit against type at that moment. Atlanta pulled Jay Fortune, who was dealing with the ankle injury that took him out of the starting lineup in game three. Silva gets the goal. This one, it's 3-2. Atlanta's holding on. 91st minute of 7 of stoppage. It ended up being more. If Miami, who was in the ascendancy there, gets a goal, then you're going to penalties. Rob didn't care. He was going for the win. He pulls Alexi Maranchuk, who definitely would have taken a penalty, for Noah Cobb. Cobb repays that with clearing a ball off the line, a number of other big plays. The substitutions, Valentino nailed it. The tactics, Valentino nailed it. And the motivation for this group and the development of some of these players, like you talked about Bartosz Schlisz. Schlisz had 10 defensive actions in this game, which is an absurd number. Valentino's nailed all of that in this run. It's been very, very impressive. There's been other things that have been very impressive about this run for Atlanta United, and Brad Kazan is a huge part of that, obviously. Here's Brad Kazan speaking to us media after the game in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's his engine in terms of covering ground and being able to slide left, slide right, get up the pitch, get back and defend. You know, there's still moments where he makes my heart skip a beat a little bit when he's trying to dribble out of, like, the top of the box, and I'm like, I could see a guy coming out his back, and I'm like, ugh. But no, it speaks about his confidence in himself, but more so than that, like, how he's grown within our group has been tremendous.
This team's found an ability to shake things off.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a kind of game where maybe earlier in the season, when things go against you, it crumbles.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that in your mind?
Listen, the last couple of weeks, there's something special, you know. There's something special in the group. There's something special in the locker room, and you know, what that thing is belief, is confidence, is you know, desire to help the group. And when you have those things, the margins are fine, right? Like, obviously, they have a very good team with very good individuals who are extremely talented, best player in the world. You know, and so we don't have that. And so how do we make up the difference? And we make that up with working for each other and defending and doing hard running and tackling. And when you do things like that, you're able to give yourself an opportunity. And tonight we're able to take those chances and you know, finish it off in full in regulation time, full time.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. That was Brad Kazan after Atlanta United's win in Fort Lauderdale. Brad made the best save I've ever seen live, the one on Jordi Alba's header off of a cross from Lionel Messi. He made a couple of other really good ones in this match as well. One of them ended up being turned back in by Rojas to open the scoring. One was almost the last play of the game, a save with his chest on Luis Suarez. So many moments from Brad Kazan. He made more saves since decision day in a 5-game stretch than any other 5-game stretch in his MLS career. Brad's 40 years old, and he is playing like the best goalkeeper in this league and the best goalkeeper who's eligible for the U.S. men's national team. And there were even some people saying he should have got called in here. Just incredible to see this from Brad Kazan. Dax McCarty has also played very, very well in this series. I wanted to share the conversation that I had with him in post-match media. I asked him a couple of questions, and here it is with Dax McCarty from Fort Lauderdale.
We've talked about it before that this experience hasn't quite been what you thought it was going to be when you signed up. Has this run here lately made up for it in a way?
God, you know, this is such a cliche word, and I'm like loath to use it. It's just a little bit of like a fairy tale, you know? I mean, I can't quite describe the emotional roller coaster that I personally have been on the last month, because you always believe in the best outcome and the most positive outcome, no matter what the circumstances are. But any reasonable person could assume that somewhere along the line, playing numerous knockout games in the last month, that maybe it doesn't go your way. And even tonight was such a great example of that. I mean, going down against this team in this environment and not losing faith and giving them just an unbelievable counterpunch in the first half that just gave us that belief. And when you have that, it can take you a long way. And right now, we have that. And you have to harness it, you have to use it. And it's nothing else is guaranteed. We're going to be on the road for the rest of the postseason. And I think we've proven we're not scared of the moment.
There's a few more. This coaching staff, you've played for a lot of coaching staffs. What is it about this staff right now that stands out to you?
I think they're channeling a little bit of Ted Lasso and just making us believe, because when you have a season like we had, it's really easy to lose faith, and it's really easy to get negative, and it's really easy to feel sorry for yourself. And I'd be lying if I said that that wasn't happening at certain points in the season. But they were steadfast in every single thing, in every single message that they said, which was, you are a good team. We see a good team. We believe in you. And now you need to believe in yourself. And honestly, it is very corny, but sometimes that's what sports are. Because you look on paper at our team, you look on paper at Inter Miami, and you say they should have absolutely no chance to step on the field and compete with that team. But that's why the game is played on the field and not on the stat sheet.
Love the insight from Dax McCarty. That was from Fort Lauderdale after Atlanta United pulled the upset in three games, beating Miami twice, including the clincher in their house, to move on to the Eastern Conference semifinal. We're going to get deep next week into Atlanta at Orlando. Anybody Atlanta gets to play, it is our old friends from Central Florida. We'll preview that one in detail next week. But coming up next, to wrap up this edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, it's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Stay with us. We'll be back on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. Final segment of AST. It's time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start with the local side of things. College teams in NCAA tournament action. There are quite a few, and we will let you know where you can see this action. Let's start with NCAA D1 on the women's side, Georgia. They earned a number 7 seed. They're going to host Colorado in Athens on Friday at 4:30 p.m. You can also watch on SEC Network Plus if you can't make it out to Athens. NCAA D3, Emory. They're women, number 14 in the country, 11-3-3. They are going to their 6th straight NCAA tournament. They secured an at-large bid. They will host the first two rounds of the tournament on their home field in Atlanta. They're going to host the Methodist Monarchs in the first round. Also, after that game, that's going to be at 1 o'clock on Saturday, Maryville will play Pacific Lutheran. That'll be at 3:30. The winners will meet on Sunday to move into the Sweet 16. Emory's men are also going back to the NCAA tournament. They went 5-1-1 in the UAA. They won the automatic bid. They do have to go on the road, though. They're going to Lynchburg, Virginia for the regional round. They're playing number 20 Lynchburg in the opening round. Emory actually beat Lynchburg earlier this season in a neutral site game at Oglethorpe. That game's at 3:30. The winner will play again in the round of 32 on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Speaking of Oglethorpe, their men, they also won their conference, the SAA. They defeated Rhodes in Memphis on Sunday. Second straight NCAA tournament appearance for the Stormy Petrels. They have a long trip, though. They're headed to the Rocky Mountains for the opening stage of the tournament. They will play Claremont Mudscripts in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Number 5 in NCAA D3 men, Colorado College. They are the hosts. Colorado College knocked Oglethorpe out last season. They also knocked Emory out last season. The winner of Oglethorpe and Claremont Mudscripts will play the winner of Colorado College and Pacific Lutheran on Sunday. There's still some conference tournaments to go. NCAA D2 is a week later than everybody else. Peach Belt Conference, Clayton State's men, they're going to host the semifinals and the finals in Morrow this weekend. The Lakers, they won the regular season title. They're going to host number 4 seed Lander on Friday at 5 o'clock in Morrow, followed by number 2 seed North Georgia hosting number 3 Flagler at 7:30. The winners will play on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Peach Belt women's semifinals and finals are headed down to Columbus, Georgia. Columbus State, the number 1 seed. They will host Georgia College and State University on Friday at 5, followed by number 2 seed North Georgia facing number 3 Flagler, same as the men. That's at 7:30. The final for the Peach Belt women's conference crown is on Sunday at 1 o'clock. In the Continental Athletic Conference, NAIA, Georgia Gwinnett, their men and their women are in the conference championship games, and they are tomorrow at the Grizzly Soccer Complex. The men and women will both be playing Bellevue University from Nebraska. The men's match will be at 4 o'clock. The women's match will be at 7 o'clock at Georgia Gwinnett College. Number 3 on the local side, 7 Atlanta United players have earned call-ups. Maybe not great timing. They will be playing for their national teams this week during the FIFA international window. They will all be back in time for the playoff game, hopefully with no injury issues to deal with. Luis Abram is with Peru. Steon Gregerson, called up for Norway. He has 8 caps for Norway. He's back into their national team roster. Sabalob Chinidze, back into the Georgian national team roster. Alexei Maranchuk, he will join Russia for a pair of international friendlies against Brunei and against Syria. Bartosz Szlich, he will join Poland for 2 UEFA Nations League games. Luke Brennan, he's going to join the US U-20s for a training camp in Spain. They're going to play South Korea and France. And Efrain Morales has earned his first call-up to Bolivia's senior national team. Made 6 appearances for the U-20s. He will be with Bolivia's full national team for a couple of FIFA World Cup qualifiers at Ecuador on Thursday and against Paraguay on Tuesday. Speaking of national team play, let's get into the headlines from around the world. U.S. men's national team facing Jamaica in the CONCACAF Nations League this week. Mauricio Pochettino, first official competition. His roster, 18 European-based players, 4 from MLS, 3 from Liga MX. They've started training. It's a really quick turn for them. You got a couple players who come in hot. Tim Weah and Ricardo Pepi both scored winning goals ahead of these call-ups. Weah, he will miss the first leg in Jamaica. Remember that red card back at the Copa America. Don't have nightmares about it. He scored the only goal for Juventus in their win over Torino. The other goal was an own goal. Ricardo Pepi, he had a goal and an assist in PSV's 3-0 win at NAC Breda. Mauricio Pochettino was asked about Ricardo Pepi and this opportunity for him. Here's what Mauricio Pochettino had to say.
I think it's, agree with you. This type of injury is open an opportunity for maybe another player to have more minutes. I think Pepi is a fantastic player, but it's more about potential, you know, because I think he's not playing too much in PSV, but we understand because he's another, you know, a striker there, that experienced striker, that it's not easy for him to get his space. But for us now, it's a great opportunity for him to trust and to give the possibility to play and show his talent. And I think it's a thing that he needs to improve, and we are going to be very, very, very tough with him to try to make him to learn quick, to improve, to realize the thing that need to improve in all the areas. And yes, we trust in his talent. He's a player that is a striker that always, if play 1 minute, 10 minutes, or 20 minutes, or 90 minutes, always is a offensive player that is going to have chances to score. And then he can add this quality. And yes, it's a great opportunity. Of course, disappointed with the player, Hashi, Sargent, and of course, Balogun, that still are injured and cannot be part of the squad. But in the same time, appear the space for different, like him or for Brandon Vasquez, you know, to have minutes and try to fight for his place in the national team.
Big opportunity for Ricardo Pepi and Brandon Vasquez. Interesting, Mauricio Pochettino brought that up as well. Big thank you to U.S. Soccer and Veritone for that clip. Other CONCACAF Nations League quarterfinals in this round, Costa Rica, Panama, Suriname will play Canada, and Honduras will play Mexico. Home and away, the semifinals and final are next March. Quickly, headlines from Europe. A bunch of absences for England in the UEFA Nations League. 8 players withdrew to injury. Morgan Rogers from Aston Villa has been called up. Bunch of surprises in this group for England. They're going to face Greece on Thursday and Ireland on Sunday. Speaking of pulling out of a squad, Martin Ødegaard, he has pulled out of Norway's games to focus on getting fit at the club level. Europe also confirmed that the World Cup draw will be held on December 13th for their qualifying setup. 12 groups. The 12 group winners will directly qualify. The 4 remaining spots in UEFA will be resolved by a series of playoffs involving each of the 12 group runners-up. Number 3 on the headline, South American World Cup qualifying. Argentina, they've got some questions in this setup with a few injuries. Some guys are going to be away. They are leading the South American World Cup qualifying setup. They go to Paraguay in the first game of the window before hosting Peru. Speaking of Paraguay, Miguel Almiron, our old friend, and Ramon Sosa, they needed an emergency private plane from the Paraguayan FA to make sure that they arrived on time for that game against Argentina. The commercial flight was delayed due to technical issues. Peru and Chile on Friday night, if you get a chance to watch it, it's one of the more underrated rivalry matches in South America. And there's going to be a bunch of people on Friday also looking at Montevideo. Uruguay, struggling right now. Marcelo Bielsa, lots of talk about Bielsa and his methods. They host Colombia, who only has one loss in their four games since the Copa America final. More on the international break. Our fourth headline, let's look to Asia and Africa. Saudi Arabia, they have brought Hervé Renard back into the group. Remember, he's the one who led Saudi Arabia's win over Argentina in World Cup 2022. Saudi Arabia trying to get into an automatic qualification spot. Qatar also struggling in Asia. They're going to need points. South Korea leading their group. They are in a pretty good spot right now. They will travel to face Kuwait. Ghana, African Cup of Nations, that's what they will be doing during the international window. Ghana needs to win, and they need a bunch of help. They've won the African Cup of Nations four times. They've been to the last 10 tournaments. They might not qualify this time. They need a lot of help from teams that are ahead of them to drop points. Angola and Sudan both might knock Ghana out of this tournament. Wild things in the African Cup of Nations. Let's finish with three things that make me smile about the game. We talked about it. You heard Brad Kazan talk about it. You heard Rob Valentino talk about it. Bartosz Ślisz, his development, his growth. To see him boss this game at times, after seeing that League's Cup game with a penalty miss and not an emotional, like, I think he handled it about as well as he could in that moment, but it was probably the first serious adversity that he's dealt with in his career. And we saw him go up and down at times in this season. To see him in these last couple of games be a player that you could lean on, so impressive to see. Number two, things that make me smile, seeing Noah Kopp get the moment that he got late in the game, clearing a ball off the line, a guy who has played maybe more this season than anyone thought he would, due to injuries, and he has handled it. He is now an absolute trusted first team member of the squad. That was a big play that keeps Atlanta's season alive. And number three, look, it's really simple. I've really enjoyed getting to see this team finally come together under Rob Valentino. It took a while. He had a lot to deal with. He had a lot of travel in his first portion of his stint. He had a lot of injuries. He had a lot of things to deal with. But look at what they have done since going to Charlotte. Yeah, they had a disappointing loss against Nashville and a disappointing loss against Montreal at home, but they've only lost one game on the road since Labor Day, and that was game one against Miami. That's incredible. And getting to see this group that has completely come together, bought into what the coaching staff wants, bought into what it means to be a part of this club. I love that I know that they have at least 90 more minutes to do what they do. It has been an absolute joy, this playoff run. Mike said to me, and I don't think I'm speaking too far out of school to say this, this has been even more fun because it's been so unexpected compared to 2018. This has been an incredible ride. I hope all of you are enjoying it as well, and we're going to be carrying everything about it for you over this next week and a half. Next week on AST, it'll be Tuesday night, 10 o'clock. Lots of audio from lots of different people speaking about getting ready to go to Central Florida and face Orlando City. Thank you for spending some time with me this evening. Adios, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.